Hi, you're listening to KSUT. I'm Sarah Flower, joined with our weekly update with Leanne Jalan, Executive Director of San Juan Basin Public Health, where we do this every Monday, kind of a wrap of last week, what's looking forward to the week ahead. Leanne, thanks so much for joining us here on this weekly update.
Thanks for having me, Sarah.
Let's jump right in. There is a lot to talk about. I think one of the biggest headlines that we've had is the latest switching, maneuvering, adjusting of the death toll for due to COVID-19. Let's talk about that and how that's affecting our numbers and what that really looks like.
Yeah, it's a really complicated situation. You know, we've talked a lot on your show about the size and scope of this global pandemic has really kind of revealed inadequacies in systems. You know, we certainly saw that with testing. The most important thing for containing communicable disease is having enough testing, and we've just struggled nationally and we've struggled statewide to have enough testing. You know, I think that was a good kind of bellwether for all of the things that are going to be a struggle with something as massively scoped as COVID-19 global pandemic. So one of the things I think when we're thinking about the planning that should be in place for a pandemic or an epidemic of any sort, people expect that the response is going to have kind of clean data that is comparable from jurisdiction to jurisdiction, comparable from state to state, and we can draw, you know, a national picture around what's happening. This event really brought to bear that a lot of things people assumed were in place were not in place to the way that we would understand them as people on the ground. So there is discrepancies from community to community and state to state around how we fill out death certificates and how we count the number of people who have died from COVID-19. It's not that surprising. If you think about it, we've only had the virus for 4 months. At first, it was a respiratory disease with mild cold symptoms all the way up to bronchitis or potentially pneumonia. We found out since then, people can die from embolisms, they can die from blood clots, there's kidney failure, there's all kinds of other things and other ways that the virus is attacking the body. We do know that people that are already vulnerable due to other comorbidities and other sicknesses can more easily succumb to the virus. But when we figure out exactly who died from the virus and who died from their other illnesses, that's going to take some time. And that's kind of what happened in Colorado last week. You know, the way the death certificates have been filled out in the state of Colorado is absolutely the accepted CDC, you know, the cause of death, contributing death, and putting all of that information on the death certificate with the understanding that it's going to take some time to get this data figured out. And it will be debated over time. We all understand that. Colorado chose on Friday to start reporting the data in two different ways. There will be a death count for people that COVID is a causing factor, and then another death count for people that died with COVID. I think it really is a messy situation, and I think it's the wrong conversation. The most important thing is preventing death, right? That's what our job is in public health. And so rather than a debate about how are we filling out death certificates, we should be framing the conversation of what can we do to avoid preventable deaths in our community and everywhere across the state.
Well, it's a fascinating thing because wasn't it about a month ago that our number shot up because they added a whole bunch of people to that number? So it's just been in flux for a while now.
And I think that's something that's going to happen when we're dealing with a volume. Right. I mean, there are places where death certificates are held up for weeks before people can actually even get them filled out and get them turned in. There's a lag time before the CDC counts it. There's a lag time from local communities to states. So part of it is a volume issue, but part of it is learning new things about the disease. We've seen this happen before. If we, you know, think back, those of us that were alive in the early 80s, we remember that people were dying of different diseases. You know, it wasn't AIDS or HIV that was killing you in the 80s until we figured out that that's what was killing people. So there is this thing with new viruses, you know, that there's going to be a lag time until the data is kind of settled on. And it's researched, it's debated, and then eventually it kind of lines up into here's what we all are agreeing to. And so this is a really tough one because we're debating it while we're still doing it and we're still learning new things about the disease. You know, another thing that's really interesting is there are statistics out there, you know, if you compare, you know, the month of April or certain weeks in April compared to last year's April across the country, we recorded 30% more fatalities in the U.S., you know, in certain weeks than we had that week previous years. So, you know, we just listed kind of this huge list of things that we're finding associated with COVID-19, you know, from heart to blood vessels to GI to kidney failure, all of those things, right? And whether or not all of those are attributed to COVID-19, you know, is still going to be figured out because it's still learning about a new virus. But the fact that you can see a 30% jump in fatalities, right? That's tragic. I mean, there are people dying in places in this country. We're not, you know, hit really hard down here in the southwest corner of the state, but any fatality is tragic for that family if it comes earlier than, you know, anyone expected. And whether you have, you know, heart disease or diabetes or, you know, other compromising issues, if you are in that, you know, kind of gap where you're like, whoa, there's been a 30% increase in fatalities, it could be that someone delayed getting medical care. It could be, you know, for symptoms that we didn't recognize, right? All of that kind of just gets lumped into, this is tragic. This is really, really hard. And how can we prevent death and get back to a normal life? That's what our job in front of us is right now.
I follow your Facebook page, and there has been a lot of people that were upset about not releasing the information of the one person who has died of COVID in La Plata County. We did talk about this last week, but I think it bears repeating as people are saying that it's challenging to the information that we have coming in.
So, you know, we live in a smaller jurisdiction, so there's not a national standard. I mean, again, this is all the things where we think there are all these national standards, and then we find out in events like this that it's a little bit messier than we would expect. So there's not a national standard of what can and cannot be released in every community. What there is there's guidelines. And the guidelines say for a jurisdiction that's under 100,000 people, which is what we are here in La Plata County, that best practice is for a fatality, you can release age within a 5-year bracket with some caveats to that. And then you can release gender. And that's the only information. You cannot release risk factors. You can't release comorbidities. You can't release, you know, obviously date of birth or other details. We honor that as the guidelines for the community our size. And then in this case, the family requested privacy and they were very clear that, you know, we don't want additional information released. So what we have to remember is in public health, we have a really tough job right now containing infections that we have. We have a very low case count in our community. We have a very low fatality rate in our community. We have all of the data that we've gotten. When we've gotten larger numbers, we've given more demographic information. But when we have kind of single digit numbers, we hold that close, especially for families asking for privacy, right? With any communicable disease, the first and foremost thing about containing it is having people come in for testing and then have them be willing to share with us who they've spent time with over the last 14 days. And then it's also having them share with us things like, hey, I need help with groceries, right? That's not the first thing anyone wants to tell somebody. Like, this is such a difficult thing for my family. I don't know how I'm going to get groceries for the next, you know, 5 days or 10 days while I'm on quarantine or isolation. Can you help us with that? So we're in the background interviewing people, helping them with housing, helping them with groceries. We want to do that as quietly as we can so people continue to come in for testing and continue to tell us everything that they've done over the last 14 days. And then let us help them with services. People that have never asked for help with groceries before are finding themselves having to ask things like that, right? So if we then break their trust and say, well, the guidelines say we can put this information out, so we're going to put the gender and the age within 5 years, and lots of people in the community are going to figure out exactly who that is, then every time we do that, we interfere with our ability to do good case investigation contact tracing, and wraparound services for families going forward. We see that as our number one job. We have to contain disease. We've done a great job as a community containing disease, and we want to keep doing that. And we feel like putting out more demographic information is only going to make people less likely to come in, get testing, and then tell us everything they need to tell us to help us be successful.
Leanne Gillon, Executive Director of San Juan Basin Public Health. This goes by so fast, and I have a million more questions, but we're going to have to wrap for today. Is there anything else you'd like to add or plug in quickly here?
We will be doing more testing with high-risk populations. You know, the most important thing for containing disease right now is still diagnostic testing. So over the next coming days and weeks, we'll be doing increased diagnostic testing at high-risk employers. So people should expect to get more information about that in the next few days. And, you know, again, continue to do what we're doing as a community. We're in good shape. We have very low numbers here. If we keep those numbers low, that's going to be the best thing we can do as a community to start getting back to what we call the new normal.
Leanne Gillon with San Juan Basin Public Health Department, thanks so much for joining us here today on our weekly update on KSUT.